It's Friday, December 1st, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, we've got a great show for you. It's very strange. I'm recording while it's still daylight, so strap in. We got a great one for you. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and it is an absolutely beautiful day here in Honolulu. Now, of course, I'm recording as live as it can be from historic Ford Island, and I tell you what, the weather is gorgeous. I'm sitting behind my desk in a microphone looking out the window thinking, this is how I need to record my podcast on a regular basis when it's daylight. And the reason I get to do this today is because last night, my lovely wife and I attended my company's Christmas party, and they gave everyone the day off today, so I have been able to sleep in, and I got up this morning and had a nice cup of coffee, and I told my wife, wow, I can record when I've had a full night's sleep, and I don't have to be barely awake trying to do the show, and she kind of looked at me kind of weird, but all of you that have been with the show for a while, you'll kind of get where I'm coming from there. But hey, for all of you that are long-term subscribers, thanks for being part of the family, being part of the Ohana. Of course, thanks for staying subscribed to the show. Got a great show lined up for you today. I really, really do. There's some really important things I've got to talk about. And I've got a soapbox here in the office. I'm going to get up on that. We're going to shout and scream in a company here in a few minutes. Actually, an organization. So strap in. It's going to be a good show. All right. Let me just kind of run down. Of course, hey, how can I forget? All of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, hey, thanks. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for subscribing. Of course, stay subscribed. Tell all your friends about the show. And help us continue to grow the audience here at Geek News Central. Of course, get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. And sign up for our podcast newsletter available via the second column of the website. And you'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And for those of you that have not been listening for a long time, go over to the podcast link on the website and check out the archives as well. All right, got a couple of things to go over. Going to be doing a video cast today, too. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be giving you a tour of the so-called studio here. It's more of an office, and I think you'll enjoy the little video tour. You'll be able to see where, quote-unquote, the magic happens. And I'm going to talk about my gear and my rig and talk about some of the stuff that I'll be taking to the Consumer Electronics Show as we get ramped up to do our big event down there. I'm really, really excited about that that show, and talked with Annie McCaskey on the phone last night, and him and I kind of firmed up our plans and what we're going to be doing. Should be really, really, really exciting, and of course, lots of great video and audio that's going to be coming out of the Consumer Electronics Show. Also, starting to work pretty hard now on the upcoming roundtable on the, I believe what we're going to do, December 9th. I should look at the date here to make sure I've got that correct. Seeing we are on the first day of December. Oh, by the way, I haven't done this in a long, long time, and I'll provide a link to it in the show notes if you feel so inclined. Go over to Podcast Alley and vote for Geek News Central over there. And your support of the show is definitely appreciated. And I haven't done that in 2 or 3 months. I guess I just haven't been following that site too close since we've been so involved with all our other properties as well. But if you feel so inclined, go ahead and drop us a vote over. That'd be real cool. Yeah, so anyway, on December 9th at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, we are going to be doing our next roundtable where we're going to be doing our Christmas special. And what's cool about this Christmas special is we're going to give away a bunch of money. Not money, but prizes worth a bunch of money. I think we're sitting at about $600 in total prizes that we're going to give away. So you're going to want to take some time. You'll have a good chance to win. Now, here's why. When we record that show, we do it live. We usually have 20, 25 people that show up for the actual live event. And, you know, it's generally kind of tough sometimes on Saturdays for people to sneak away. We get done with that. Of course, I do the production on it, and then I put it up online. And generally, that show downloads 15,000 plus times after we put it up online. So a number of you go watch the show, or a significant number of you go watch the show after we produced it. Now, the difference with this show is if you don't come and hang out, you're not going to be able to win a prize, because only people that are actually at the event are going to be able to get hooked up with some of the cool stuff we're going to give away. Of course, we're going to be talking about cool geek stuff that you're going to want to consider for your Christmas shopping if you haven't got it done already. And of course, that event is hosted and sponsored by GoToMeeting. And we know that many of you have tried that application in this listening audience. And if you haven't, you know, here's why that application is so important. If you're still driving or flying to get to meetings, or if you don't have the budget to do that and you want to be able to still meet with people effectively online, then you need GoToMeeting. It's the easiest and most affordable way to hold online meetings. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere. All you need is an internet connection and a personal computer, which means you no longer need to leave the office, or you don't have to leave the house or whatever. You can do the presentation in your t-shirt if you don't have to get dressed up. It's good for training sessions, demonstrations, collaborations. You simply invite people to meet online during your conference call, and they see your desktop on their computer screens. Now, the best part, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, and you can visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast with an S. GoToMeeting, try it free today. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. So thanks for GoToMeeting for being a sponsor over there of that event, and help driving all the good stuff that we're doing over at techpodcast.com. All right, I've got a whole bunch of emails from people that have said, hey, I'm interested in your blogging position. You want to pay people to blog? And what I mean by that is I'm willing to give some people that have some good writing skills and are excited and passionate about technology a chance to be an editor over at Geek News Central and earn some money at the same time. Now, I did have one guy that sent me an email, said, hey, Todd, sign me up. What kind of medical benefits do you have? And I'm like, this is kind of not quite that type of a position. So if you're looking to blog part-time and you want to help drive an increase of traffic over at Geek News Central, and your articles are effective, I'm more than willing to share an advertising revenue from the site, and I'm also willing to do a type of pay-per-post type of deal. And so that's kind of how it is. Now, I haven't quite figured out what that's worth, what time is involved, and what it actually would work out good for paying people. Kind of working that with each individual person, talking about it. So I'll be sending an email. Don't worry. But I'm looking to kick the volume up at Geek News Central so far as the blog site goes. And of course, I'm looking for people that are motivated and excited and want to become part of a tight integral team over there. So because many times now I find myself just so absolutely swamped with stuff that I don't have time to cover all the posts that I want to post on the blog. And it's kind of sad too that I've gotten so busy that has kind of waned a little bit, but that's what you got to do. You got to make you got to make differentiations of your time and determine what's 100% important. And but it still continues to be a focal point of my day to be able to get some good postings up there, but I find myself slipping from time to time. And of course, trying to juggle school and everything else, it's even more of a challenge. Okay, enough on that. So we get back with you on email. So just stand by on the replies. Okay, prize giveaway here. Oh, so many of you replied on what the good media player was. What amazed me the most was that, of course, those of you that have iPods wanted to, said iPod's the best podcast player there is. And the goal, and someone said, actually, well, why don't you get one of the new iPod Shuffles? What I'd like to do is go ahead and the winner that was two shows ago that is getting a $50 gift certificate and $100 towards a media player. I have got, if he's willing to do it, and I'm going to send him an email, I have a Mobi Blue B153 here that was sent to me as a review unit. I looked it over and posted a post on my website about it. It's preloaded with podcast ready. If he's willing to substitute the Mobi Blue for the $100 towards an MP3 player, I'll send him the Mobi Blue versus the other amount. So I'll be in contact with him, and we'll clear that up. But we're going to give some money away to someone today, or gift certificate away to someone on the show today. So you'll definitely want to listen throughout the podcast. All right. Talked about the video cast, roundtable, what's going on here, replies to email. Got that covered. Yep, got that. All right. I'm just kind of looking down my show notes and talking to myself. I apologize for doing that. But, man, it's nice. It's beautiful day. Why am I behind a microphone? That is the question. Okay, here we go. Of course, we want to make sure that you always get a chance to save money on the show. And just in time for the holidays, GoDaddy.com now offers gift cards available as e-gift cards or personalized mailed cards. GoDaddy gift cards can be used for domain names, hosting, or anything else from the GoDaddy.com website. The discounts that I give you do not apply to those. So if you want to buy a $25 gift certificate, it's going to cost you $25. You're not going to be able to use the promo code Todd to get 10% off. But when you're over there, check out some domain names. Look at the domain auctions. That's been a lot of fun to me, at least, as playing in that little market. If you're looking for a website or whatever it may be in hosting services, check out GoDaddy.com. Plus, enter the code Todd when you check out. And for those products that are available, save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Are you guys ready for me to get up on the soapbox? Because I have got a stack. I mean, an absolute stack of content today. But the first one, just I saw this article and it's all over the net today. So maybe you've seen it already. Here's the title. MPAA blocked identity theft law because they need to be able to spy on people. Yes, you heard that right. MPAA blocked identity theft law because they need to be able to spy on people. Now, what's happened here is that in California, they had some proposed legislation that would ban pretexting. Now, if you remember a few months ago, you know, there was a big scandal at HP over the use of pretexting, and that's where you pick up the telephone, you dial a customer service number, and you say, hi, this is Mr. Jones, and basically lying to someone over the phone to try to gain information, okay? Pretexting is calling on a false pretense. It's not representing someone that you're not, the whole nine yards, you know. Pretexting is, believe it or not, is in many states is not illegal. But California was going to be changing their law to make pretexting illegal. Okay, it was a very strict language in it. Now, here is the kicker of the story. It was first reported over at Wired that the MPAA heavily canvassed politicians to kill the bill. You know, the entertainment industry for a long time, you know, in my opinion, my personal opinion, have done some things that makes you really wonder if or not they should have been doing that. But for them to go out and actively stop legislation that will protect you and I, you know, do you want someone calling on your behalf? Do you want some calling not on your behalf to get information about you? Let's say get access to phone records. Let's say get access to your internet account. This is amazing. Now, if this turned out to be, if there's feet behind this article and what's being reported, you should be outraged. Okay, because obviously the MPAA and maybe other organizations with AAs in their name, like the RIAA, maybe they are using pretexting as a way to go after people that are maybe or maybe not sharing media. You know, there are legal ways to go after people that are doing copyright abuse. You use the courts, you get subpoenas, you know, you do that kind of stuff through discovery, you get that information. You don't get on the phone and call someone and said, here, my name is so-and-so, and by the way, I can't figure out what the IP of my computer is, you know, whatever they're trying to garner, this is not cool. This is totally not cool at all, and it really makes me wonder if there doesn't need to be some sort of federal investigation opened up on the MPAA to find out exactly what they're doing. Why would they need this shut down if they were not doing something that most of us would consider to be absolutely illegal? I'm sure you're going to agree with me here. This smells really, really bad. Now, this is all over the net today. It's getting a lot of negative press coverage, as you would suspect. But if anything else, you need to ask your congressmen, your senators, you need to ask anyone you have connections with in politics, why? Why were they allowed to do this? Why? What are they doing that they're scared of? You know, if companies are doing this, if more companies are doing this, going out and grabbing information about us, there's something wrong with that. If they're out there displaying themselves as someone that they're not. Now, it's to be known yet what they're doing. We don't know if they're making phone calls and, you know, acting as if they're somebody that they're not. We don't know if that's the actual case or how they're actually formulating this in their attack strategies against people that are file sharing, etc. But what's really interesting here is this California proposed law had nearly unanimous support. Now, they did revise this bill, and it went through, but only after the MPAA killed the original intent. So I'm pretty outraged. I really, really am. And there's multiple links up on all the major sites about this. And the question I have to ask is, who's afraid of pretexting laws? We're not. We're not afraid. It's obvious that other companies are. And you really need to sit up and think about this. You know, whether or not you're doing anything that would come under scrutiny or not is beside the case. I'm sure the majority of people that are in this country, that are out there, they're using their internet the way they're supposed to. They're not out hacking stuff. They're not out doing sharing files. They're not, you know, they're just, you know, they're being good citizens. Honoring artists' content, the whole nine yards. This should make you sit up and think a little bit. All right, off the soapbox, onto some really exciting stuff. NASA has set December 7th as a launch date for STS-116. It's going to be the first night launch since the previous disaster. So I'm looking forward to this. It should be a very, you know, the night launches of the shuttle are simply they're a spectacle to be seen. They really, really are. You know, you think the daytime launches are dramatic. The nighttime launches are awesome. But it's scheduled for a 9:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time liftoff out to the International Space Station. Now, in preparation for the International Space Station visit by this shuttle, the ISS was scheduled to do a reboost maneuver today, and they had attempted to do that, but apparently some sort of engine firing malfunction about a minute into the burn shut the engine off on the Progress that was lifting the station from to a little bit higher of an orbit, 7.3 kilometers higher that they were trying to get to. This could cause problems with the planned intercept of the International Space Station. We will see how this goes. They're going to try it again on December 2nd to get the to do another burn. If you remember, though, this has happened before. This is the second time a Progress resupply ship has not boosted the altitude, or actually had to do it. Did an engine cutoff early, It's pretty amazing, really, that the Progress ship can boost the altitude of the ISS like that. So we'll see how it goes on December 2nd with the retry of the boost. On a prior show, we talked about Jason Calacanis and leaving Netscape and how he was kind of looking on what he was going to do next. We also talked about some discussion about creating a better iPod or creating an open source iPod. There's been more discussion about this, and some more players have actually chimed in, and what was originally kind of as a fantasy discussion has now turned into what Jason is terming a feasibility study. So they're going to be meeting, there's a few individuals they're going to be meeting. I think one is going to be Dave Weiner might be involved in this, a couple other people, Michael Gartenberg has chimed in. A few people are going to be meeting together, and they're going to be talking about this possible open source iPod killer, I guess. That's what we should term it. And some of the key features they're looking at is, of course, open source software, has Wi-Fi capability, no DRM, removable media like Compact Flash, and also preloaded with three shows from the top 200 podcasts. So I don't know how that will work, but we'll see what they decide to do here with this. And they've talked about maybe initially creating just 1,000 units to sell. And I tell you what I'll do. If they decide that they're going to move forward with this and they are going to try to pre-sell players, I'll commit to buying two. I'll buy one for myself and buy one for someone in the audience. So, Jason, I know that you listen to the show from time to time. Count me in for two. If we need more, I'm sure we can get a lot of people out there to commit to buying the first 1,000 that are pre-sold so that we can have a very good podcast player that is open source. I think it's essential, and I think it could be huge. I think this could be unbelievably huge, and it could be the first thing that would really go after Apple. And, of course, there's not much going after Zune, but this is a great idea. If anybody can do it, the crew that Jason's putting together, it looks like on this, should be able to pull this off. And go to Consumer Electronics Show, Jason. That's where you're going to find Chinese vendors. that's for sure. All right, let me move on to the security front. There's an article out today on securitywatch.eweek.com that's talking about cracking the BlackBerry with a $100 key. It appears that there, by a white paper that's been published by a guy that works at the Symantec Security Response Team, hackers can pay as little as $100 for an API developer key that can open doors to the theft of data from the BlackBerry devices. Now, this is pretty significant in that, you know, if a BlackBerry gets stolen, you know, up to this point, you've been very assured that, you know, by using your password to access your Blueberry or BlackBerry interface, that your data would be very, very secure. Well, it doesn't appear that this is the case. So if your BlackBerry is lifted, it looks like that people can get in. Not only that, it looks like there might be methods for proxy attacks on the BlackBerry. There would be some applications that would have to come in via the interface to do that. It requires a digitally signed application. But, you know, with these guys having this API, it could be very well possible to make that do that. So this is an article that should make all of you very cognizant of what you store on your BlackBerry. Link will be up in the show notes. The article has some more detailed information. So definitely want to check that out. So protect your BlackBerry information. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Okay, on this next article, I'd love to see some emails from some of you out there that are business owners that actually went and bought Windows Vista yesterday and or the Office 2007 release. As many of you know, yesterday, Steve Ballmer kicked off what Microsoft is terming the most significant product launch in Microsoft's history. And it's been a long time coming, but Vista is now on the street for business users. And, of course, will be followed up by January 30th consumer launch of Windows Vista. While at the same time, they're releasing, of course, Office 2007, which has got some very dramatic changes to the interface. So we'll have to see what happens with this release. We'll see how the sales go. I'm sure the sales will be relatively good. I can't imagine them being bad. Microsoft has such a dominant place in the marketplace. But there are alternatives out there. That is for sure. And we've had some of our audience members point out some of those office alternatives. And, of course, one of them being openoffice.org. So you definitely want to check that out. And that application actually seems to work pretty good. I did download it. I've got it on one of my test PCs. And, of course, we've talked about that application here before. The best part, of course, is that it's a free application. So check out openoffice.org if you're kind of in between on whether or not you want to upgrade Office 2007 or if you're looking for some alternatives. All right, there's also some news on the podcasting front. You'll remember a few months ago, Apple sent a cease and desist letter out to the folks that are the creators of MyPodder, which is an application that goes on these MP3s that are actually termed podcast ready. They'd actually sent a cease and desist letter for them to quit using the word MyPodder, and I believe they actually objected to the actual use of podcast ready as well. Now, Russell Holloman is over there, and I don't know what's going on with their issue with Apple in regards to those cease and desist letters. Now, I do know that the website Podcast Ready and the application MyPodder are still actively being called that, and they haven't changed the names of this. But back when that actually happened, a guy that has the podcast called The Global Geek, and he's over at globalgeek@thepodcastnetwork.com, he had actually sent a letter to Apple, requesting to license the word podcast. And he had sent a nice little letter, you know, describing that they wanted to license it on their, license the actual use of the word podcast. And as a token of payment, had sent Apple a single Australian dollar. All right, well, that was kind of, you know, at the time, you know, he had put that on his blog, and, you know, there wasn't a lot said about it. But here, a couple days ago, he got a letter back from Apple essentially saying that Apple does not claim the term podcast. Well, it's kind of funny because they sent a letter. They sent sent this guy's check back to him. And everyone's saying, oh, yep, Apple's not going to go after anybody that's using the word podcast. Well, very interestingly, that Russell Holloman over at Podcast Ready made a comment on a blog where he says, regarding the Apple confirmation and the word podcast, it's not confirmed. They don't object to its use as a descriptive term, but they most certainly do object to its use by another company when related to the downloading of media and to portable devices. The community seems to think that the issue is over and that Apple's original intentions were misinterpreted. But we're not. They claim a common law right to all things pod, and they are attempting to enforce that. So that tells me that something's still going on over there at Podcast Ready, and probably there's a legal battle ensuing. Russell doesn't say anything more than that. But, you know, there is some evidence that Apple has actually applied for a patent that encompasses the podcast transfer mechanism. Now, remember, Adam Curry was the one that developed a little application to get a RSS feed enclosure from a website into your computer and onto a portable media device. Okay, that's the mechanism. And there's a lot of people that went out and created applications. You know, you look at what was originally, what's now called Juice, applications like Doppler. They were all in existence long before iTunes came in and made podcasting integrated within that application. So people were already had software that were downloading podcasts to people's PCs and then dropping them into the media players automatically. So now it appears with this patent that Apple is trying to file that they are completely ignoring, you know, all the past works of other people, and they're trying to, you know, get this designation claim that they are the owners of that mechanism. It's not going to fly. You know, I don't foresee them getting that patent approved, but, you know, they're a pretty powerful machine, and it just goes to show you just need to continue to watch what Apple is doing in this regard. Now, they should come out and really say what their intentions are. But as Russell inclined to have said in his comments here, they may not. You know, they may be patting the podcasters, you know, on the shoulder, you know, from one side, and then going back behind them and doing these other litigation and filings to try to solidify their position to the functionality of the transfer of an actual podcast, you know, the physical way that that's done. I'm sure there's going to be a pretty big, people are going to continue to keep a watchful eye on it. I definitely will, and I'll keep you advised as we see stuff here. But I'll put a link up to Russell's comments that he made over at scripting.com on this. And, you know, I'm not done watching what they're doing, so I hope you will not as well. There's an article in Wall Street Journal entitled, "Is Microsoft Driving Innovation or Playing Catch-Up with Its Rivals?" And this is a head-to-head conversation between two friends, actually. One is with the commentary by Dave Weiner. The other is commentary by Robert Scoble. It's pretty good back and forth. And obviously, Dave is now using a Mac product. And he has, you know, recently switched from being a Windows user. And Robert has both of the computers in their home. He's got a PC, a Windows-based PC, and I've got he's also got a Mac-based PCs, same as I do here. And so it's a good commentary on what's going on and what the considerations these two have on Microsoft and how they're not necessarily driving innovation. At least I don't think they're driving innovation at this point. I think they are probably more inclined to think that they're playing catch up. And there's some good points by both these guys in this article. So I'll let you guys read it in its entirety via the show notes. All right, any of you that are podcasters out there, do you want to go to the Consumer Electronics Show for free? It looks like that Netgear is looking for a guest blogger. They're having a contest to determine who's going to be going out to CES on their dime. They're going to give free flight to and from Vegas, free hotel room, and $2,000 in spending cash. That is a great deal. That's probably worth a total of about, your hotels are about, for the entire time at CES, is $2,200 right now. A hotel, actually, airfare, let's put another $600-$800 on airfare. That's about a $5,000 sponsorship. Not too bad. Not too shabby, as they're saying in this article here. Now, it is a contest, and I don't know what the restrictions are right now, but if you want to be the resident blogger for the show for CES, you can find the link in the show notes to be able to go over to and apply for the contest. So check it out. And if I didn't already have a sponsor, I would be definitely doing that. I wonder if someone can double dip on one of these deals, blog, podcast, and video cast. That could be pretty cool. Maybe I will apply. But if you're a tech podcaster, you'll definitely want to apply for that. All right, there's an article over on Robin Good's site. It's called "Podcasting and File Sharing: How the Web is Transforming Itself." And this is a part five of a series of articles that have been up. And this is just talks about peer-to-peer and some of the stuff going on with podcasting. Pretty good article, just a good overview. The main thing is they've got some good links off this article to some cool sites. I'll let you check it out. Gives you some examples of what's going on in this space. And if we could ever get file sharing tied into podcasting in a bigger way, in other words, having all these applications having BitTorrent capability, etc., you know, then some of the woes that some of us are really concerned about, aka bandwidth, would not be such a big issue. And I will do a disclaimer. He's got my book listed on there, recommended book listing, along with some of the other cohorts. Michael Gohagan's book is on there. Evo's is as well. Bert Farkas is his Secrets of Podcasting. So some links to some podcasting books as well. Now, I've been getting, it's kind of interesting. I went a while without getting feedback from people that have bought in my book. And I've just recently started to get a bunch of emails from people saying, "Hey, Todd, I'm getting ready to start doing podcasting. I need some help," and all kinds of questions. Those emails I need to get to here in short order. I might try to answer some of those questions in the show today. And hopefully those folks are subscribed to the podcast. That's hopefully they're listening. All right, Google Alerts is now alerting about blog search changes. This was announced on November 28th. Google announced, I guess a while ago, that in addition to monitoring alerts for web search news and group services, you can now get email alerts with would show up on Google's blog search engine as well. And if you've never used the blog search engine at Google, it's blogsearch.google.com. And I think this has been out for a while. I may have talked about it, but researchbuzz.org just reported on it. And I think we talked about that before. Maybe we did. I don't know. I'll have to go over and look at Google's site when they release that. We talk about so much stuff here. Sometimes I'm afraid I duplicate articles. I guess it's easy enough to do. All right, over on Nick Bradbury's site, of course, Nick Bradbury is the author of Feed Demon. It's the news aggregator that I use that I highly recommend. He's got an article up today to why do firewalls have to be such a pain in the butt? And apparently what happens is every time Nick does an update to Feed Demon and they release it, people go out and install it, and then their firewalls block the application from being able to go out. Now, it's understandable for firewalls to detect when there's been a change in an executable and say, hey, something's going on here. Do you want to allow this application to access the internet? Because I've detected a change. And that's a good thing, really. I know that I use Norton antivirus. I use Norton firewall as well on my Windows-based PCs. And those alerts are welcomed by me, and usually I just click and say, yep, go ahead and allow it to access the internet, or if I wasn't doing anything to upgrade a program, then I can go investigate closer, which luckily has never happened. But what he's finding is some of these firewalls, in particular, I guess, Zone Alarm, is causing him just an unbelievable amount of trouble tickets. Now, I've talked about Zone Alarm here in the past and how I used to be a big Zone Alarm fan, but I'll be honest with you, I have quit using Zone Alarm completely. Zone Alarm is not on any of my machines here, and until they determine to get back into their core business and get their products squared away, I will not use Zone Alarm anymore. I know some of you probably are using Zone Alarm, but let me tell you something. That application, in my personal opinion, has become bloatware, and its issues resolve around many of the things that Nick Bradbury is saying here in this article. He's even saying that people are having a problem. Even after Zone Alarm is uninstalled, it's still acting as a firewall. And he hasn't been able to figure that one out as well. So are you a Zone Alarm user? Are you having problems with it? Does it block stuff intermittently without explanation? How is it integrating with your email applications? Is it fighting with your antivirus software? Has it taken over? In my personal opinion is they got so spread out. They're trying to do everything. They tried to have one application do everything, and they ended up doing a bunch of things not very well instead of the number one function of that application. They should have Zone Alarm as a firewall application by itself with none of the other junk that's in there. Leave that other stuff to professionals who are doing that much better on a much better level than what Zone Alarm is. And I feel your pain, Nick. I really, really do. And good luck with the support calls. I wrote an article on my blog a few days ago, and it's actually got some pretty good traction traffic-wise. A lot of other people are talking about it as well. And it's talking about using Windows Vista in conjunction with a cable card. Now, I'm sure many of you aren't even familiar with what a cable card is, but, okay, for example, the widescreen TV that we have downstairs has a cable card access port. What you can do is you can go to your cable provider, if they're any good, and you can get a cable card to stick into that slot. And what that does is that will replace your need for a desktop, actually not a desktop, but for a set-top box. Now, most of you that are on cable get a set-top box from your provider. Now, in my case, I decided not to get a cable card. I went with a set-top box that had DVR capability, HD DVR capability, from my cable provider. Okay, so I pay them $9.95 a month or whatever it is for that box versus having that cable card directly in the set box. Now, a lot of people have been thinking, because Windows Vista is coming out, we're going to be able to use cable cards with Windows Vista. All right, that's a given. We know that's going to happen. You're going to be able to do that. So everyone's been thinking, I'll be able to use my Windows Media Center to act as a DVR. I'll be able to record stuff because I'll have it cable card access. It's going to have the full rights to be able to get pay-per-view channels, the whole nine yards, through that, you know, the authority that's granted with the connection and interaction with the cable card and your cable company. All right, so people have been thinking, all right, I'll be able to take that data that I've got on that media player, and I'll be able to distribute that to different TVs in the house and my media centers, et cetera. Well, Microsoft bowed to the cable companies. And what they have done is that unless you have an official media center extender. Now, right now, I believe the only official media center extender is a Microsoft Xbox 360. It appears that you're not going to be able to take that digital cable content on the cable card equipped PC and then push that to video over your network to any other PC. So if I've got a PC here that's a media center PC on my desk, and my kids have a non-media center PC on their desk, the video that I have here, I will not be able to push to their PC, or I will not be able to push to a PC or to a monitor downstairs. It's just not going to be possible unless you use a Microsoft Media Center extender when it's officially been quoted as that. So you've got lock-in now. They are saying that maybe a few other of these devices are out there that are being sold will get this certification, but it's not going to be that simple. So what they have really, really done here, it's a disservice to consumers in, again, content that you are paying for, subscribing to with your cable provider. You get that content, you subscribe to it, you pay for HBO, you pay for the HD channels, you find a cool HD program, you record it, you find a cool movie or something that you record that you want to play later, you record it on your media center. If you don't have an Xbox 360, there's no way you're going to be able to push that content to anywhere but the screen on your PC. Now, is that dumb? Totally, totally dumb, right? So the incentive is Microsoft wants you to go buy an Xbox 360 so that you hook that into the your TV that you've got. And then, but how many of you are going to hook an Xbox 360 to your main living room TV? I don't want my kids playing games on the TV in the living room. They want to go play games. They go play on the old the old TV, the old vacuum tube TV that they've got in their room. Okay. This is a serious issue, and in my opinion, is going to limit the viability of Vista in using cable cards. It just again goes to show you that our fair use rights are being discriminated against. You know, they're so much on control, because they're so worried that consumers are going to take and steal that content and share it with their friends. They're afraid we're going to take that digital video that we're recording and putting on our media centers, and we're going to send that to a buddy of ours across the street, or we're going to copy it to a disc. You know, I'm paying for it. Trust me. You know, that's the problem here. There's no more trust. What it boils down to is the MPAA and all these associations and the cable fighters, they think we're all a bunch of thieves. Now, Apple's going to be coming out with their iTV next year. And you mark my words, it'll be the same thing. It's going to be the same exact thing, same type of restrictions, same type of streaming limitations. Instead of making it easier, for consumers to obtain and watch content that they want to listen to, they're making so many ridiculous restrictions. It just drives me nuts. It really, really does. And it just makes my blood boil. And if you really understand the implications of this, what they're doing is, over time, through technology, they are going to take away all of our fair use rights. They're going to be telling you, you will use this application with this piece of hardware. You will not be able to use this piece of application with that because it's not certified. You know, they're through attrition and time, they're going to make it very, very difficult for us. Every piece, you know, they're going to, at some point, we're going to have ask permission to turn the TV on. I'm serious. You turn the TV on and there's going to be a quarter slot in the machine to put quarters in your TV. Some guy's going to come around and collect it. It's ridiculous. I'm about fed up. How about you folks? New media, new media, new media. Down with old media. down with old media. All right, on a sadder note, actually in a concern note, there is a word out that CNET's James Kim and family are missing. One of CNET's senior editors of digital audio and his family have gone missing. It happened over the Thanksgiving holiday. I'm going to put a link up to the article. I would like any of you that live in the Washington state area, Portland, Northern California, Nevada, any of the surrounding states, Utah, definitely look at this article. And if you have seen these folks, they are missing. They are very concerned. It's a husband and a wife and two young daughters. But apparently they were driving a 2005 Silver Saab station wagon with a license plate DOESF. And there's official missing report down here. So maybe we can reach out to some of our listeners that live in that neck of the woods. Or actually anywhere else in the country. This is being pushed out on a lot of the technical websites and blogs. And if you haven't seen it yet, take a look at these folks' pictures. And as a collective, maybe we can help find them, bring them home, etc. Have you been in a movie theater before? And there's been some guy in there on the phone during the movie, or someone that's just driving you nuts that is causing a distraction. Somebody's got a baby that they don't want to carry out. Well, it appears that Regal Movie Theaters are going to be issuing a device to tattle on troublemakers. So what they're going to be doing is regular customers that come to Regal, and I don't know how they're going to determine who is a regular customer, they're going to give them like a little pager. It's a four-button pager. One is for like someone's talking on a cell phone. Number two, there's a video production problem. Number three, it's too hot. But they're going to be able to have this device to rat on people that are disrupting the show. I'm clapping because it just drives me nuts. People's cell phones go off during it. First of all, it's expensive. How many of you have went to the movies recently with all your kids? You know, when I do that, it's like, you better go to the ATM, bud, and get some serious cash, because you're going to fork out some money to take three kids, two adults, get popcorn, and, you know, God forbid they want sodas or something, because, you know, that's another $20. So it's an expensive deal. And then to have some idiot talking, or a baby crying where the parent doesn't take the baby out. Yeah, I understand, parents. I've had babies in movie theaters. But the first sign that that little rascal decides they don't want to be in the movie theater anymore, I get up and take the baby outside. But some people don't do that. They don't have the courtesy to do it. So I think these little tattletale devices in the movie theaters is a good thing. All right, how many of you have problems with your iTunes artwork? I'm sure some of you do. Some of you are probably saying, what are you talking about? But if you're having problems with your iTunes artwork, I'm going to provide a link over to a download squad that will show you how to fix all of your iTunes artwork. It's a little bit of a process, but one thing's for sure. They found a backdoor, kind of a way to do it, to get your iTunes artwork fixed on your listings. There's a great article over on Dumb Little Man at dumblittleman.blogspot.com. It has a review of where they found 200 free Office templates and documents that were available at office.microsoft.com. A lot of these have been really hard to find. This guy went through and dug out all these links. So if you're looking for Office templates, you'll definitely want to check out the link that's in the show notes for this site. A little news coming out of all of mp3.com. They're saying we're not going anywhere. They have hired a IP attorney out of New York. And they're representing all of MP3, and they are basically saying that it doesn't matter what trade representatives make for a agreement on shutting down websites, that's going to have to come from a judge. And all of MP3 believes quite firmly that they are on good grounds, that they're not going to get shut down. So only time will tell. And I think, you know, the way things run in Russia, I think they could be gone in an instant if the Russian government really want them to be squashed. But at this point, they're standing up and they're going to battle the best they can. And we'll see what happens. You know, with Visa and MasterCard shutting down allowed payments to all of MP3.com. And as I was reading through some of their forums a couple of days ago, people are having a hard time adding credits. Now, they do have a way to do it. It is a little bit of a convoluted way to get credits on accounts. which seems to work sometimes and work and sometimes not work at all. But there's definitely a battle going on here on that website. So they've actually, you know, got an attorney in New York that is it's going to be battling for them. So it's kind of interesting to see where they're taking this fight, and to have actually hired an attorney in the United States is eye-opening, to say the least. All right, good article over on Red Orbit. It's over at redorbit.com. All right, for those of you that are business owners, you are definitely going to want to read this report. New rules make firms track emails and instant messages. If you are a business owner, U.S. companies are going to now need to track all of the email and instant messages and other electronic documents generated by their employees, thanks to a new federal regulation that go into effect today. The rules approved by the Supreme Court in April require companies and other entities involved in federal litigation to produce electronically stored information as part of the discovery process when evidence is shared by both sides before a trial. Now, here's this: what's the important? I'm reading directly from the article. The change makes it more important for companies to know what electronic information they have and where. Under the new rules, an information technology employee who routinely copies over a backup computer tape could be committing the equivalent of virtual shredding. So all your emails within your content has to now be stored, accessible, needs to be available. So if you're running a company and you are deleting email, you may be committing a federal crime, okay? So word to the wise here. And actually, I had sent out an email to the lawyer that we have on staff at Raw Voice. And I said, Barry, how does this affect us? What do we need to do? How do we make sure we're in compliance? And he's going to be looking over the rules, making sure that we're squared away. But this is important, folks. If you're a business owner, you'll definitely want to review this. Now, essentially, all that does is it makes, you know, it's just like I think all governmental agencies store email. They have to be able to go back and get that data in case there's some sort of litigation. And it goes to show you that what could be said in email could come back to haunt you. So, you know, I'm sure businesses, and if there's something in their email chain that they don't want seen, they could delete it. So it just, you know, this is, puts a pretty heavy burden even on small business owners, because it looks like it applies across the board to everyone. And I know I've always archived all my email anyway. I don't delete anything. It's just one of those, you know, one of those habits I've gotten into. So really, no change on my part. But if you don't save that data correctly and you lose it, and then there's some sort of litigation issue that you're involved with, whether it's on your side or someone, you know, if you're going after someone or someone's coming after you, could be of concern, that's for sure. All right, we're already at 52 minutes on the show, and I want to cover, I've got five more articles to cover, but the most important of the five is one that's by Mark Cuban, and it's over on his website at blogmaverick.com, and it's going to kind of bring home some of the points that I talked about earlier on this Windows Vista / cable card issue and streaming video. We all know that people are buying HD TVs. We all know that HD video looks absolutely beautiful on those big screens. We know that regular video that's on the non-digital channels kind of looks a little grainy. Everyone kind of understands that. And almost the pictures look better on a regular tube TV than it does on these flat screens. But he goes on to say, here, if you have a new HD TV, look at the video inputs or do something different and open up the manual. Either way, you're going to come to find that the only way your new HD TV is going to be able to receive and display HD content is through a DVI or HDMI port. Now, that's true. That's it. Now, you may have S-Video or Composite there, and they may even allow you to connect to your cable or satellite or PC, but they don't play in HD. Now, look at the back of your PC. How many of you have a DVI or HDMI port out? Now, chances are, as he says here, that unless you bought a PC with high-definition video in mind, you don't. Now, that might come as a surprise to some of you. Some of you say, well, I'm not going to hook my PC to my HD TV anyway. Okay. But as the video moves more and more online, you're definitely going to look at this, okay? And he goes in to talk about more about how this whole battle is building up between cable providers and what they're going to allow you to watch and what they're not and what they're going to allow you to push from your computer and what they're not. It's all the same stuff I've been talking about, just worded in a different way. Link will be up in the show notes. You'll definitely want to read that. All right. Have any of you tried to get the your cell phone unlocked since this new ruling went down by the federal FCC? If you've had any issues getting a phone unlocked, I'd love to hear from you as well. Now, how many of you love eating toast? Got a great holiday gift guide for you. It's called the Roller Toaster, and it's the best thing to happen to toaster since sliced bread. And if you've seen everything, you haven't seen this. This toaster is so pretty, it has almost looked like an Apple engineer developed it. And it's for someone that needs an extra toy in the house, but it does looks like it cooks toast pretty good. Those of you that are developers out there, you want to go check out an application called Boy Builder, Boy Builder. And if you do JavaScript type of applications, this would be a cool application to use in conjunction with that. As we end the end of the year here, Merriam-Webster Incorporated, which puts out a dictionary, of course, they are asking visitors to visit its website at www.merriam-webster.com. I'll have a link up in the website to pick one single word that sums up 2006. So if you want to contribute to the word of the year over at Merriam-Webster, please do so. And, you know, remember last year, podcast was the word of the year by the Oxford Standard Dictionary, I believe. So if you want podcast to be the word of the year at Merriam-Webster, go over to the website and submit it, or whatever word you think is the word of the year. I think it's video, to be honest with you, video cast. Definitely been the year of the video. All right, cellular providers are pressuring Google over mobile apps, and this just blows me away. Cellular companies are complaining to Google about the apps that they're allowing, that are being allowed to be downloaded onto people's cell phones, as they're creating quite the overhead bandwidth issue. And this just goes to show you that the cellular companies want you to have to pay $3, $4, $5 for a little application to do the same thing that Google is providing for free. They're not happy with it. How long it's going to be before cellular providers start blocking these applications is your guess as good as mine. But it's all boils down back to net neutrality. It boils down to you having a choice on what you have on your cell phone and how you use it. It ties into some of the complaints people have had that are using Verizon wireless, and how they say that their unlimited plan is not so unlimited, as they've canceled people's accounts, has used too much, transferred too much traffic. But check out this article, and I think it's just going to show you how desperate some of the cellular companies and all these groups are now, because what's being unlocked in your cell phone are free apps, and we all love free. And I don't like paying $3.95 or $4 for an extra application on my cell phone. I really, really don't. So I think this is pretty awesome that there's at least Google is saying that the cellular companies are pressuring them over this. It just goes to show you that the cell companies are really concerned. And at the same time, I hope Google stands their ground and doesn't give an inch. I love free applications. All right, there's a very cool PC that's being introduced. It's called the HP IQ 770. It's a Crossfire. It's a 19-inch touchscreen Vista PC. And oh my goodness. Wait till you see this, folks. It's designed to go on a countertop. And when my wife sees this, she is going to be like, honey, can I have one of these? They're not going to be cheap. Around between $1,800 and $1,900, but it's supposed to be quote-unquote an iMac killer. We will see, but this thing looks pretty awesome. Let you check it out. Perfect. It's got all kinds of functionality, but perfect for countertops, perfect for family use. I think it's going to be an exciting product to see on the market. We're going to see a lot more of this stuff, too. All right, I'm completely out of time here. I'm going to link up a last article. It's from the New York Times. We'll see how long it stays available within the linking, so you have to check it out real quick. It's an article called Here's My Number. It talks about throwaway phone numbers and dealing with being single and not wanting to give your phone number out, protecting your cell number, the whole nine yards. We'll cover that at you guys go ahead and check it out and form your own opinions. I got some voicemails here. I have not pre-screened them, so let's go ahead and kick them off. We're definitely going to be over an hour today, but hey, that's okay. Here we go.
Hey, Todd, this is Mike Wills of the Riverbend Music Podcast and New Music Today. And in relation to you talking about Dig and how there, I think it's something to do with a video or the a YouTube number of views and the number of digs that match. Well, I am actually one of those people who are kind of guilty of using it as a link block and just coming back to it later and in many cases just totally forgetting about it. Because I look at it as like, ooh, this sounds kind of interesting. So then I'll dig it, and then it was the intention of going back later and viewing it. And I guess in some cases, I either get lost or whatever, and I just never go back to look at it. But I guess, in a way, I'm using Dig as a link blog, and that's probably what a lot of the digs are, is people thinking, I'll come back to it later and take a look at it. Or in some cases, it's the peer pressure thing where, oh, well, it looks like a lot of people are digging this. Maybe I should dig this too and take a look at it later. So that would be my guess on some of that stuff. That's kind of also why I don't read Dig as much as I used to. I mean, I used to go to the website all the time, but now I grab the RSS feeds for all the major categories. I look at them, quick glance through them, and nothing special here, and then keep on moving. I don't really rely on Dig too much anymore, and actually have a feed. I can email you the link to that. I think I call it technews.mikewills.name. It aggregates together a lot of the major news tech news sites like Slashdot and TechMeme and that stuff all together in one. And so I did drop Dig from there. That's something I'm not quite sure if I want to keep in there or not yet. But beyond that, keep up the great show. Bye.
Hey, thanks for your comments. And I also had received an email saying that the disparity between digs and views on YouTube could be because when a video goes up on YouTube for a while, even though it's being viewed, it's not the views don't show up on the actual YouTube listing. I got that. That's in an email from some listener today as well. So thanks for those comments, Mike. I definitely appreciate it. Here's the next audio comment.
Hey, Todd, Mike in Tampa again. I just wanted to call and comment on show number, the real show number 220, apparently.
Yeah.
You said you'd messed up your numbers. You had mentioned in the podcast that you weren't sure why so many old movies were getting converted into HD and put on the HD channels. There's a couple reasons. Of course, the obvious reason is it's cheaper. It costs less to go ahead and get the rights to go ahead and show those movies. Also, it takes a lot less bandwidth to show a black and white movie, and the picture can look pristine. That is also one of the other reasons you see so many old movies. Those old movies were recorded on film, and film has, you know, very fine grain. A lot of shows, from what I've heard from the 80s and around that time period, they had gone away from film and gone to video, and while you can take that video and kind of up-convert it to a true HD image, takes a lot of processing power, it's kind of expensive, and you don't get the great quality because there is a definite lower resolution to shows, especially TV shows and, you know, some TV movies from the 80s. That's one of the reasons I believe you don't see a lot of the mid-80s, 90s TV shows upgraded to HD on some of these networks because, while it'd probably be pretty cheap to get them, I think converting them would probably be pretty expensive because you're going from video instead of from an actual film, which has a really good resolution. That's what I've heard. I really love the show, as always. Have a good one.
Hey, thanks for that. And I've actually got to have to dig it out here. It'll be coming up soon. But we've got some more comments on some people that on that exact subject that actually defines that a little more. And hopefully we'll get to it here in a few minutes. One more last voicemail today.
Hey, Todd. This is Andrew from Belfast. Todd, I was listening to Geek News 218 when you were talking about the digital ice age. I work for a large public sector organization here in Belfast, and our local public records office won't accept anything other than paper records. Our chief executive uses Outlook for his daily diary, and as he's the chief executive, his diary is considered to be a public record. So, of course, at the end of every year, his personal assistant has to basically sit down and go through every day of his diary and press print.
That's amazing. And he had followed up with me on an email. Can you imagine having to have your assistant print all of your diary and then take a stack of 365 papers into the records office to have it turned in? Simply amazing. All right. I still got entries coming in for the podcasting gear giveaway, so I'm going to probably push that to another show. So I've gotten like 5 in again. We're got a stack here. How am I going to hook all you guys up? We got to figure out a way to do that. Sam, thanks for your email. Of course, Marvin, we'll be getting back to you. LB, I want to thank you for sending an email in. He says, hi, Todd. I bought your book early this year in hopes of beginning my own podcast. The first time I entered a Geek News contest, and I guess my earnestness in getting my own podcast off the ground is sincere, and I'm here emailing you. Well, you're definitely in the running along with everyone else. Thanks for that. Got an email from Ken. He says, I thought this was interesting. It was said a while back that Microsoft was investing a lot of money in doing online advertising at GameSpot. Seems they're jabbing Sony pretty bad. He just gives me a link to that. We'll have that up in the show notes. Got an email here from Owen. He says, hey, I guess I just wanted to say 2 things. First of all, I'd like to say how much I love the show. I find it informative and entertaining. I think the material you cover is always fascinating. Plus, I have to say, whenever I hear you laugh, I can't help but join in. Hey, that's great. Thanks for that. He says, secondly, how's it going in the hunt for someone to blog for the website? And he goes into some comments on that. And we're still looking for some more people, Owen, so I'll be definitely replying to you. Thanks for your email. Got an email from Thomas on the YouTube versus Dig. And he kind of talked about what we talked about a little earlier and how some of the views are behind because YouTube's a little slow to come up to speed. Got an email from JP. He said, just a quick note to let you know, our Media Stooges Pro podcast site has show number 009 up featuring interview with the founder of Lulu.tv, a site that you may not know about. Basically, a YouTube-style site that pays enrolled members for content views. It's a spinoff of Lulu.com, which is a one-off publisher that allows zero inventory sales and delivery of your publications, print, CD, DVD, etc. Anyway, thought your content and interview may be of use to you. So I'll link that up at MediaStoogesPro.com. I got an email from Steve. And, hey, you're still in the running for the podcast gear, Steve. Don't worry. Michael, yep, we're still looking for writers. You'll get an email back from me shortly. Okay, this next email is going to be a little different. You guys aren't going to be able to see him. I am. He sent me a video comment. I'll actually put it on the video cast. So I'm going to play his video comment so you can hear it audibly, and then I'll have it actually on the video cast as well. So here is a video. You guys are only going to hear the audio, so you'll figure it out.
Hi, Todd. It's Alan Scale from Medicine Alberta, Canada calling. I really enjoyed your video cast so much that I decided to send you one. It was nice to see your face and put a face to the voice that I've been listening to for a while. Normally, in the past, I've sent you voicemails via my little MP3 player, my little Sanyo old cheapy MP3 player. But I decided to purchase myself a webcam with a built-in mic. It's a Logitech Ultravision. And I really like it. Anyway, on the podcast on the Desert Island side, the 3 shows that we'd like to listen to, I decided to go with podcasts that were at least an hour long. So I could while away the time. The first one is CBC Radio's Quirks and Quarks. That's a show that comes out on a Saturday afternoon. It's a science show, and you might like that. It's segmented shows, usually about 4 or 5 segmented shows that last for over an hour, and it comes out on Saturday afternoon. Another one is Genealogy Guys podcast. Genealogy is one of my hobbies, so I really like to listen to that. And of all the tech shows that I listen to, yours is an hour long, so I really like to listen to yours too. I like your the way you present it and the down-home feel of it and telling stories about your family. And, oh, by the way, how's your niece doing? And just because you're in Hawaii right now, I thought I'd give you a quick look out of my window, if you give me a second, and show you what the weather's like here in Medicine Hat right now. It's minus 20.
Oh, my gosh.
And snow. So,
better you than me. Better you than me.
Wish I were where you were. So, hope you enjoy this, and have a good one, and keep up the good work. I really enjoy listening to you. Thanks, Todd. Bye-bye.
Alan, that was hilarious. And thanks for that. It's nice putting a face to an email as well. That is totally cool. He had snow on the ground. It's cold there. I'm sitting here in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, no socks on. Oh, wonderful. And that will definitely go in the video cast. Very, very cool. Thanks for that. And my niece is continuing to be in rehab. She's doing well. And hopefully she's marching towards a being able to leave the hospital date. Only time will tell, but we hope to have her back with at my mom's house by Christmas. So we will see. We'll keep our fingers crossed. And, of course, our prayers continue to go out to her. And, of course, check out the Sherry Cast if you want the full details at CHERIECAST@sherrycast.com. All right. Boy, we got a bunch of stuff here. I got an email from Chris. He says, "Hey, Todd, something of interest that I do for my family is using Asterisk to record all of our phone conversations. I maintain a home-based Asterisk server, which makes it very easy to do this. Of course, the data is only used personally for archives, but can you imagine when I have gone away the way of the earth and our kids or grandchildren have that resource to listen to? The best thing about it is that I set it up to never need to think about it. I have a script that notifies me when there's enough material to archive onto a CD. And I just burn a CD and delete the files on disk." Hey, make sure you're burning those on some of those real super good gold CDs, because if you don't do that, in about 10 years, that data will not be accessible anymore. Why do you record all the phone conversations, though? Are you in the United States? Because in the United States, I think you have to disclose always when you're recording. Anyway, interesting, that's for sure. I got an email from Danny on Top 3 Podcasts. Number 1, Extreme Tech Podcast. Number 2, Engadget. Number 3, Geek News Central. Thanks for that. All right, I do have a bunch more, but I'm just going to wrap it up with this last email from Randy. He said, "First, I want to say my top 3 podcasts, if I were stranded on a deserted island, would be... Number 1, Bill O'Reilly. I would have to hear the no-spin version of what's going on in the world. Number 2, GNC, to get the no-spin version of what's going on in the tech world." That's a good idea. I like that. We may have to incorporate that, Randy. No spin. Number 3, I am still searching for number 3. I have some I like, Twit, but not really anything I could live without. Talks about the intro, and like the older intro when it was one where it was talking about an assistant slapping him in the face. That was the real radio intro that I used to have before. And also, he's basically some more comments in here, but I want to wrap this up. Randy, thanks for your comments. I do appreciate it. To read them all, read everything that comes in. Don't reply to everything, but of course, as always, send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemails at 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. And, of course, we'll be back with you at our regular show times next week, Tuesdays and Fridays. First thing in the morning will be delivered directly to the podcatcher of your choice and into your portable media players, are available at blueberry.com or even on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Until next week, or actually until you guys watch the video cast, take care. Aloha. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.